Welcome to season 4 of the XL podcast. In this season, as before, we will be bringing you news, views and opinions from people relating to the driver training industry, both local personalities from here in the Southwest and nationally recognised figures, all of whom will have something to say about their experience with driver training. We hope you enjoy each episode, and if you do, please give us a like at the end of it. Hello everybody, welcome to this latest episode of the XL podcast, and I'm absolutely delighted to have somebody with me today who we're going to talk about the whole topic of mindfulness. And having said that, there'll be some of you now who will say, oh please, this has got to be San Harper. You're absolutely right, it is. And I'm so grateful, Sam, for you coming to join me today. So hello and welcome.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you for inviting me, Kevin. It's good to actually see you.
Yes, Bob Morton, between the two of us, we said that we've got, what did he say? We've got faces for radio and voices for silent movies. Anyway, so we're going to delve into the or dip our toes into the whole area of mindfulness. One thing I will say that most people know that this podcast has its origins down here at sort of the Exeter and Torbay areas, and we did have some years ago Keith Woodward came and did a mindfulness course for 20 or 30 people are down here. So there will be people in this area who've had some experience, and some people I do know from the posts we have on our Facebook groups who are very much into meditation and the whole thing of just sort of getting some inner peace and so on into their lives. So, you know, hopefully we can enrich what some know and just enlighten those who don't. Before we get to that, can just give me or the listeners a bit of an idea of how you've got to where you are today.
That's a good question. I sometimes wonder myself. It's been 20 years since I've been an ADI. And it was really funny how I ended up being an ADI. I'll tell you the very short version of the story because it's quite a long story, but I ended up going backpacking with my old school friend when I was 31, and we hired a camper van. She couldn't drive it because she learned to drive in America. So I taught her to drive the stick shift, as she called it. And when I got home, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I was a bit of a crossroads in my life. And my same friend that I'd been away with got deported. That's another story in America. So she ended up coming back to the UK to live with me, and she saw the advertisement we just both referred to, become a driver instructor. And she said, oh, you taught me how to drive that camper van. You could do that. And I said, don't be so stupid. I would have to do something like that. Here we are anyway, 20 years later. So it's funny how these things come about, isn't it?
Yes, because you know, we were chatting just beforehand, talking about the instructor college, which was all over the TV screens at the time. And that's really got me thinking about doing this. And that's who you trained with.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was who I trained with. I went to Bristol for the week. And luckily, I was teamed up with, there was two of us training together. And he also lived where I live in Gloucester. So yeah, we were able to buddy up together. And I started off with New Driver. Do you remember New Driver?
Oh, yeah, yes. They've got a couple of people down here.
Are they still going?
There's one or two with the New Driver logo on their cars around here.
Yeah, so I was with them for the first, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years. And then I went independent, a little while after that. So, yeah. And the venture into mindfulness, more recent, I guess it's been the last, I'm losing track of time, 6 years I think it's been. Just because, you know, life happens. And I was noticing that I was anxious and holding a lot of muscle tension and stress, to the point where I remember saying to my husband, I don't know if I can do this anymore. you know, really bringing it home with me and thinking I need to find something that's going to help me to just manage life, you know.
Yeah.
Discovered mindfulness. I think a relative of mine suggested I try the 8-week MBSR, which is mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is considered like the gold standard, the original Jon Kabat-Zinn 8-week course. And I did that course and I really noticed a shift. It was life-changing.
Yeah.
And I got to the point, I thought, well, I need to be sharing this. It kind of naturally integrated into my work. It was a very natural, organic kind of process. And I thought, wow, I should be really talking to other ADIs about this. You know, I thought that, and I actually held a focus group because I thought it can't just be me. It can't just be me that has all these challenges. So I had a focus group and I thought I didn't want to assume that their pain points would be the same as mine.
Mm.
But most of them were, a few things that they had different to what I had. But, you know, the usual stuff, sort of stress and diary management and physical pain. All that stuff. That fast forward a few years, I thought, I went and qualified. I became a qualified teacher of mindfulness, and the qualification I initially did was mindfulness and compassion in professional practice, and that enabled me to write my own course, and hence mindfulness and compassion for driver and rider trainers. And I also teach the MBSR now as well, so I'm qualified to teach that too. And a lot of the instructors that do my course then go on to do the 8-week MBSR.
Oh, right.
I find amazing.
Yes, amongst my myriad of bits I've written down here is about the courses. So we may come back to that in a little while. Yeah. Because one thing I didn't say at the start, which you have now sort of accredited yourself, are the fact that not only are you an ADI, but you have, you know, a series of accreditations for mindfulness itself.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the biggest one really is the BAMBA accreditation. So BAMBA is the British Association of Mindfulness-Based Approaches. And I think I acquired that in 2022. And you have to just jump through a series of hoops.
Right.
You know, it's quite a lot. And you know, it costs a lot, actually, to remain, you know, on
yes.
the register. And I might actually need to re-register, actually. But I do follow the good practice guidelines, and that means taking myself off on retreat every year for a week. Because the thing is with mindfulness, it's and this is the thing that can be really interesting with the ADIs that do the course. A lot of the CPD that we do is very much, you know, almost like a tick box. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, understand that. I've learned that. Whereas with mindfulness, it's very much you embody it, if that makes sense. It's something that you either do or you don't do. And I guess it's a bit like yoga. You know, it's a bit like yoga for the mind. You know, if you do yoga, you're going to have, you know, you're going to improve your muscle strength and you're going to improve certain aspects about your physicality. And I guess mindfulness is very similar, but the main, I guess, it does affect you physically, but it gives you strength of mind with regards to where you choose to focus your attention. And I used to be the worst ruminator. You know, that was my big thing, rumination, playing over stories, somebody would upset me, you know. That's the best way to describe it, really. It helps people to have a bit of a stronger sort of sense of where they choose to rest their attention. And you just get a little bit more flexible. I guess it changes your perspective a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Changes the way you think, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I suppose you'll get a whole spectrum of people, some of whom will, I imagine, be fairly sceptical. Some things, you know, is this really for me and that sort of thing. So you have to sort of win them over, I suppose. Or maybe some you won't be able to.
Some you won't be able to. Some people... are very comfortable in their discomfort, which sounds a bit of a funny thing to say. But a lot of people are very uncomfortable with whatever's going on in their lives, and they have their crutches. You know, we all have our crutches. And for some people, that suits them. Nobody's saying that's wrong. But for me, I wanted to address what was more at the root of it all, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And really, It's actually focused attention. It's not even about making yourself feel more relaxed or better to start with. That's almost like a byproduct, actually, that comes through the practice. But mindfulness in itself, it just helps you just to be a bit more resilient and a bit more resourced. And that quiet space that we've all got within us, you know, like some people go fishing, some people... they do. We've all got a lot of people recreational things that they like to do. And when they're in that space of that recreation, life is calm and they feel peaceful.
Yeah.
And they feel very centered, very, you know, everything's good.
Yeah.
Mindfulness helps you to access that space that exists in all of us that often just gets buried and lost.
Yeah.
You lose touch with that part of ourselves sometimes. And I think mindfulness, it just makes you able to access that a little easier.
Yeah. And there is quite a sort of a scientific basis to this, isn't there? It's not just sort of some airy-fairy thing.
Yeah.
Things.
You mean neurodiversity? Your strengthening neural pathways, basically.
Yes. I think of things like adrenaline and cortisol. What are they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is what I mean about the yoga thing.
Yeah.
Strengthening your mental muscles. So the part of the brain that's responsible for the fear response.
Yeah.
The amygdala. That has actually been shown to be reduced. The amygdala, the fear center of the brain, shrinks in seasoned meditators. They've actually found that has happened. And it also alters other areas of your brain responsible for cognitive function, memory, you know, hippocampus, all that stuff. The idea is, like any muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Right,
Playing back stories in your head that are negative, that you get better at doing that.
Right.
You get better at your negative.
Yeah.
Because if you focus your attention on using different ways of thinking, you get better at that.
And how it works. Because that's something I remember Keith Woodward saying about change the script. As if you're in a film and if things aren't right, change the script. So it's in effect the same sort of thing. Because somebody I know called Janie Whittemore, who lives in Cheltenham, so it won't be too far from you. She's a Reiki practitioner, and she does havening as well. And she did the havening on me about 3 years ago on a phobia that I had. I don't know whether I still have it or not, because the phobia is about birds.
My friend's got a bird phobia.
And the phobia was basically about our cat seemed to know when my wife was away and would bring a bird in when I'm the only one here. So Janie actually did this havening on me, and it really did work. I could feel it working. But the little so-and-so, and she's now come in the conservatory, is having a glass of drink of water now, has not brought a bird in since. So we haven't actually proved whether it's properly worked or not yet.
I have to go and visit Trafalgar Square or whatever.
There have been times when I've sort of been near our feather friends. The big issue I have is with dead birds.
Oh, really?
That's the stupid part about it. I did have. And I have felt, you know, when you see a bird in the road somewhere, I used to cross the road to avoid them. It's a stupid thing, really. But the science behind what she does is very similar. And I'm thinking also what Diane Hall and Chris Allsop do. You know, it's different means to the same end in some respects, I take it, or maybe not. You're a better person than me.
It absolutely does. It all points to the same kind of thing. What I'd say about meditation and mindfulness, it all starts with awareness.
Yeah.
That's the crux of it. And this is the problem, that we spend most of our lives on autopilot. So you can learn many, many different things that you can implement in your life, or you can learn many different ways to navigate all kinds of difficulties.
Yeah.
But the problem is, a lot of the time, we're completely oblivious to the reality of what's going
right.
on, because we're living on autopilot. This is the problem. You know, you can learn something, but you just don't do it because you just forget. We're not aware. And for me, one of the biggest learnings was the simple fact that I used to hold my breath and hold a lot of muscle tension completely unconsciously. Yeah. And I know my pupils do that too. So I think that's the crux of with mindfulness.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're learning to pay better attention to not just your own experiences, like your thought patterns, how you're physically feeling, checking the weather, you know, you're checking that internal barometer, but also you start to see the realness of what's happening around you. So when you see other people's behaviours, you don't just see the behaviour, you see the unmet need behind the behaviour. So it also really helps to cultivate emotional intelligence as well.
Right. So just thinking to myself, I was watching one of your clips on the Facebook group, which we'll come on to later, about the lad with the alter ego.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we all do it to a degree, don't we?
Yeah.
Even with regards to, I was talking to Kevin Tracy Field recently on their podcast, and I said, you know, when you go to a party, you're one version of yourself. If you went to a funeral, you'd be a different version of yourself. We wear many hats in life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm my driving instructor hat, my mindfulness teacher hat. And I know with a lot of my pupils, they get in their own way. You know, they tell themselves stories. The story they tell themselves is, I'm rubbish at driving. I can't do this. I'm nervous. I'm this, I'm that. They get in their own way, and that's a huge barrier to learning.
Yeah.
You know, I might have all the best strategies in the world, but unless I can shift that stuckness, then we're not going to get anywhere. So it can be really helpful, actually, this idea, the alter ego, and it can be completely invented. It can be something fun. Or sometimes I'll just talk to them about a version of themselves where they are confident. So they might say, God, you know, at work, I'm really confident. Or when I go and play the piano, I'm really confident, or whatever that may be. And they can maybe tap into that part of themselves. Just like I said about tapping into that part of ourselves when we're doing something meditative, you know, fishing or art or creativity. That's still us, the alter ego, it's still us, but it's a more helpful part of us.
Yes.
Rather than the part that comes in that is the critical voice.
Yeah.
You know?
You read about it or hear about it from a lot of people, performers on stage, that, you know, they'll tell you that how nervous they are in normal life, but it's almost like it's a different person when on the stage.
Absolutely. I used to know somebody that was a solicitor, very, very shy person. They said when they had to stand up in court, they were just a different person. They could do it because they just pretended that they were somebody else.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fascinating. I find it fascinating. The mind is a very, it's either an inner enemy or an inner ally.
Yeah.
Can be an enemy if we let it, but we can also harness its strengths and we can turn it into an ally. And it's the first part starts with, well, what's actually happening? You know, what are the stories I'm telling
myself?
Yeah. The behaviour that I'm doing that aren't serving me, they're not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose just sort of going down a different garden path slightly from what you've just said there about the media doesn't help with sort of the way they portray images, particularly for young girls. So I've a friend of mine who she's an ADI, and I know her appearance, it was her teeth that were a major stumbling block for her. And she said that, I'm not going to say who it is, but she'll know if she listens to this, that she didn't want to smile properly in any photos because her teeth would show. And she's had work done to that, and she's much more self-confident about that. But,
it's very interesting. One of the things that happened to me when I discovered mindfulness, I stopped dyeing my hair. I used to dye my hair,
yeah.
And I discovered mindfulness, and I, because of this shift of me kind of just accepting, a lot of it is about accepting how things are, seeing the reality of life, and realizing that actually self-acceptance is where it has to start.
Yes, yeah. Thing.
And because I was able to start to accept how I looked, I just thought, well, I'm just going to stop dyeing my hair's grey, and I mean, I'm 55 this year. And I just accept it. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. I think we rest so much pressure on things. We judge ourselves so harshly.
Yeah.
We perceive that the world's judging us. And a lot of the time, people don't even notice the things we pick at ourselves for. Other people don't see that. I know I see a lady my age. Sometimes I'll just think, oh, she's got really lovely sparkly eyes. Or hasn't she got lovely skin? Yeah. Or she holds herself nicely. You don't notice the little...
No, until this particular person actually came up publicly and mentioned it, I thought, I've never, ever noticed anything. To me, there was nothing there. But to the individual, it's sort of... your mind is either your friend or your enemy.
It's funny what I find as well, the similarities with how we can... relate to our pupils, because they fixate.
Oh, golly, yes.
Target fixation, because all they see is the bus coming towards them, and they're so busy staring at the bus coming towards them, they're oblivious to the fact that there's a parked car.
I'll tell you a very funny story about that. The PDI, an ADI, about 3 weeks ago, she passed, and she took an inappropriate learner because her first two let her down. One of them actually told her the week before, oh, I forgot, I'm going on holiday to Spain next week, I can't do it. Anyway, she took somebody who wasn't appropriate, really, but she dealt so well with this girl. And they were going down they were at some traffic lights, and there was a bus coming the other way. And the examiner expressed surprise in the debrief afterwards, the way this girl virtually jumped into Vicky's lap because there's a big bus over there. Anyway, sorry, I've interrupted what you were saying.
But the thing is, we can see it with people. I know it's a different, completely different context, but this idea that people fixate on something, and you have to see the big picture. And it's enabling us to do that with ourselves, to see the big picture. You know, it's not just about this or that. And people have got hang-ups about all sorts of things. People get very dissatisfied, you know?
Yes.
And they're very hard on themselves for it. But I think the compassion part is huge. I mean, mindfulness and compassion, the mindfulness is just the beginning. The mindfulness is waking up to the reality, which is hard. It's really hard to see life as it really is. And not numb and avoid. It takes courage to do that, I think. And then it's the compassion part helps us to just be kinder to ourselves and learn to accept and to... Be more of a friend, befriend ourselves.
Which is a very good way of linking to your latest contribution to the Kit Mag.
Yes.
Self-compassion is in last month, isn't it?
Yeah. I've written a few times about self-compassion.
Yeah, because I've done a little bit of research. You started with him in September 2022, and you've been a regular contributor to there ever since. An interest here, the Kit Mag duo we share the same social media manager, Alison Harper.
Oh, yeah.
So Alice and I have a laugh about, you know, sometimes they're the Chuckle Brothers, sometimes they're Beavis and Butthead. but if we're feeling really kind and polite, we do call them Lee and Mick. But yeah, you know, what a great resource that is, and all the articles you've written in there. There's such a rich free resource to everybody.
Yeah, and the thing is, I suppose it's it is a lot of the stuff I write about. It applies to everything. Well, obviously, yeah. I bring it into my work, and it's in the context of our work as an ADI. But when you bring in mindfulness and compassion into your life, it affects everything. They call it the golden thread, and it does inform everything. It informs how you relate to your pupils, but also your friends and your family and pretty much everybody really in life. And the compassion part is all about, you know, you start off with the mindfulness, and that can be hard because how things life isn't always easy. And we, for some reason, the society that we live in, we're very hard on ourselves. I think this is why a lot of bodies hang ups with how they look or how they think they're being perceived. And with media, it certainly doesn't help, I think.
No.
But it's almost like filling up your cup. You've got to fill up your own cup. If you're going to give out and support other people, you're going to be more resourced and resilient to do that if you're supporting other people, if you're filling up your own cup first. And for a lot of people, it can be can feel very vulnerable, actually.
Yes.
I've had men on the course and women get quite emotional because it's probably the first time they've ever actually been kind to themselves. They've spent their whole lives with this really mean voice.
Beating themselves up.
Yeah. And it can make us feel, it can be quite life-changing, actually, when you start to discover self-compassion and you learn to how to support yourself and to give yourself, because ultimately, you know, we've got friends, we've got family, but ultimately we're with ourselves all the time. It's us. Yeah. It's almost like being a second person. So there's you, and then there's, you can almost watch yourself. You can become the observer of yourself. That I know that sort of sounds a bit of a strange concept, but when I first heard about that from Eckhart Tolle, the book The Power of Now, that was a huge learning curve for me. That there's, you know, we can observe ourselves, and be kind to ourselves.
And sort of leading on from that, one thing one of the most powerful things that I find with my PDIs is getting them to record their lessons. Nobody wants to do it, and people are very uncomfortable with it to start with. But eventually, I think they overcome that. But I think people are, you know, just looking at ourselves. It's a very powerful thing to help people. All right, we're doing it just so they can see what they're getting right and what they need to improve on in terms of in car with a learner, but you know, it can be very powerful. And I always find with learners, it's making them realize that 17-year-old getting in the car and learning to drive, however good or not they think they are, I said, this is your first opportunity for the majority of them to actually be doing something by yourself, for yourself. Mm. And whether you're doing it, getting it straight away or not, you are achieving something now. And how do you feel about that? And, I never saw it a bit like that.
Yeah. That's it. And I think this is the thing where this can be difficult, actually, when it's the parents wanting them to
learn. Yes.
I think you're right. They have to want to do something for themselves, and it has to be their choice. It's like that famous phrase, isn't it? You can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Yeah, certainly. I think they have to be wanting to do it, don't they?
Yes, yeah. So I always ask them, why are you here? With a 17-year-old, most of the time, it is where we live here, and I'm looking out at four or five fields out the back there. If I'm lucky, a couple of goats will walk past the end of the garden in a minute. But you know, a bus comes once every blue moon. And so for most of them, it is just getting the independence.
Yeah, yeah.
But every now and then, there's a lad who lives just down the road. I went round to see him, and he had a very forceful father. And the lad got back to me about a week later, so I don't want to learn to drive.
Yeah.
At the moment, he just wasn't ready. He's actually learning with another guy who lives a few miles away, and it's funny because we pass each other. I'm going out to a lesson, he's waiting for the lesson, and it's no problem to me because I wouldn't have fitted him anyway. But you know, he just wasn't ready. Yeah. But it was the parent who was forcing the issue.
I've had that myself many times where they're just not ready. For whatever reason, and it can also just be a short while later something just changes. And I've had conversations with parents, and I've said, you know, they're just not ready.
So there was another mother, her eldest son took no time at all to pass with me, and then the youngest son came along and did a couple of lessons and then didn't turn up for a couple of them. Mm. And the mum got back to me and said, "I'm ever so disappointed in him. He doesn't want to learn at the moment." I said, "It's not ready." Mm. You know, she was disappointed. He wasn't. Apparently, one day he went off on his bike and she said to him, "Oh, you don't remember, you've got a driving lesson." And all he did was wave to her as he went off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I got to say as well, with regards to my mindfulness practice, this is one of the things, this type of thing that it has really helped me to navigate with regards to boundaries, you know, recognizing what's okay and what's not, I'm prepared to do and what I'm not prepared to do, and have the courage to be able to actually convey my thoughts. Because it is difficult sometimes when you have to have a conversation because they're not ready for test, or you have to have a conversation with a parent. Mm. And this compassion, this mindfulness compassion, really helps us as individuals to feel more, to have the courage of our own convictions and be confident, for sure. It really has helped with that as well.
Yeah. And I know on another topic, the whole idea of, and Lee and Mick with their standards check courses are very much this top-down approach of the GDE matrix, which is talking about the person rather than the DVSA bottom-up version of the car and getting control of that. And the whole thing about emotions and feelings and how that affects our driving, and just, you know, tapping into that side of things.
100%. That's me all over. I couldn't agree more.
It's always stuck in my mind a story of a cousin of mine who sadly is no longer with us, and his mother died, and she lived round the corner from us in West London, and he was in Kent for something, and he rushed back, and halfway back or some way back he had a crash. It wasn't a bad one, but he said, "But my mind just wasn't on driving. I was all over the place." And he said, "In hindsight, I wish I hadn't driven. I wish somebody else had driven me." And I've always said that to people: if something sort of some trauma happens in their life, you know, get somebody else to drive if you can.
Do you know that this is the thing? As soon as my pupils get in the car, I ask them just to check in with themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what's the weather like today? That internal barometer. Mm. How is it today? Because you're absolutely right. How they feel massively impacts on their ability to learn. Sometimes I'll actually get out of the car with, I've got quite a few people on a double lesson. They love it, and it does me good as well.
Oh, there's one I looked at. There's the girl who likes to do stretching.
Yeah. And I had a girl yesterday, actually, a few hours. And I said to her, "If you want to get out halfway," she said, "Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. It's quite a nice day." And it's really good. It almost just like shifts the energy a little bit. The energy can get a bit heavy and a bit stagnant, particularly if you're, you know, you're going over something that maybe they find it a bit challenging. It just, I don't know, it just gives a new, bit of a fresh feel when you get back in the car.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm. Right, let's some of the initiatives that you've developed. And that's the Facebook group, the Guild of Mindful Driver Trainers.
Yeah, so I've got a Facebook page, and I just post different bits and pieces, videos and other content I think people might find interesting.
Yeah.
I've also got a WhatsApp group. I think there's probably about 50 ADIs in there, and that's right. People that have done my course.
Right.
Somebody said the other day it's the course that keeps on giving, because for me, it's important to help to support people going forwards. I don't want people just to come and do this course and then one that I offer and then go, see you later, bye, thanks very much. Because with mindfulness, it doesn't work like that. It's very much a practice. You either do it or you don't.
Right. Yeah.
And it's really important to me that I help people to sustain that practice. And so this is why we have the group. And it's lovely. It's such a lovely space. It's a really safe space for people to come on and people ask questions. And so there's that, which I provide as well. So, and we've got, I need to populate the map. I've got people that have done the course and getting them on the map, the older people. So hopefully people can start to be more aware of the eyes that are informed about mindfulness, who are, know what it is and can and find somebody that offers that aspect.
So let's move on then to the course. What's actually involved with that?
Yes, the course that I offer is Mindfulness and Compassion for Driver and Rider Trainers, and it's held over 6 weeks. Next one starts on the 27th of this month, and it's an hour and a half per session, and it's 9 hours in total. And that comes with over 80 slides, resources, 6 meditations, the WhatsApp group. And it's a real journey. I know it sounds a bit naff, but the amount of people that come on the course, I say to them, why are you here? And they pretty much all say, be able to offer something else in the toolkit for my learners. And at the end of the course, when I say, what did you get from the course? The majority of them say, actually, I got a lot out of it for myself. That I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Yeah. So, and is that done online?
It's online. And it's been amazing. We've had people all over the world. I had a guy get
I saw that.
A lady in America. The last course I did, there was a lady in Greece. That's the beauty of the internet, isn't it?
Because my wife and I, we play a card game. A word card game with 2 friends in New Zealand every Sunday. One of them is a friend who's I've known from school for it's 50 at least 55 years now, and we see more of them than we do of any of my other friends.
It's amazing. I've got a friend in New Zealand, and we WhatsApp video call every week. It's great, isn't it?
My wife's my stepdaughter's on the Gold Coast in Australia, and we're linked with them every Sunday. It makes also my wife's son was rushed to hospital very poorly with it was to do with his breathing, and his lungs were filling up not filling up with oxygen. And the fact that she was able to WhatsApp him and didn't have to rush up to London, because she couldn't have done anything there anyway, but every day she was able to WhatsApp him in the hospital. It just made life so much easier and put her mind at rest as well. So, the technology, despite the issues we had.
It's funny, Kevin, I've got a real love-hate relationship with it. I love it because it's amazing, and I also really hate it when it goes wrong.
I was determined not to hit one button, and that's the button I did hit. And all I could hear you saying was, I'm here, and I think, I'm not. And I have the same problem with Lee. The first 2 times we tried to do it, he's doing goldfish impersonations, because I could see his mouth moving, but there was no sound. So this course, how often do you do it a year?
It varies. It varies a lot. I was doing them pretty much thing the last couple of years. I've just changed my website, because I'm doing more outside of the industry now.
Yes, I saw that. It's quite a few different areas.
Yeah. I'm just kind of expanding and expanding my offering. So yeah. I guess, I will do more. And I will definitely be doing another MBSR course this year. And there's another course called the CMR program, which some of the ADIs that have done my course have also done. That's the Compassionate Mindful Resilience program. And that's especially designed for people who support other people.
Oh, right.
Just because when you're given a lot of yourself, it can really leave you feeling quite depleted. You know, you're giving that support and you're being there for other people. And sometimes it's hard to feel that you're giving yourself what you need as well.
And all of this is on the website, thecalmside.com.
Yeah, that's right. Thecalmside.com and the Guild of Mindful Driver Trainers, bit of a mouthful, that can be found inside the Calm Side.
but all of that will go on the notes for this anyway, so people don't have to sort of suddenly stop the listening to write it down. They can see it in the notes anyway.
And there's resources on there too, so I'd be asked to populate it with different things. I think I put a meditation on there the other day, and there's interviews I've done with some other driver instructors, and there's book recommendations. So I'll keep trying to sort of pop things on there that might be useful for people as a resource, you know. So
I've had a look through it over the last couple of days, and I thought to myself, crikey, you know, it's really some very simple things on there, which I think, how effective that was, as well as going in much, much deeper into the whole mindset of it.
Yeah, and I'm more than happy for people just to reach out to me and ask me anything mindfulness or driving instructor related. I mean, I've been in the industry a long time, and I'm happy to sort of help where I can.
Yeah. I think this is the feature of everybody who I talk to. They might be nationally recognised figures and everything, but everybody always says, "I'm prepared to help anybody." Virtually, it's an amazing, sort of group of people we've got.
Yeah, we're lucky, and that's the other thing with this technology. Because when I started out, and when you started out, I felt ever so alone. I was nobody to ask, other than people I bump into at the test centre. I felt very, very isolated.
Even though I was with LDC, it was at a time when work was nowhere near as plentiful as it is now. And there was the worry of where's the next bit of work going to come from? The goats have just turned up at the end of the garden. They're having a fight. They're miniature ones, and they're having a fight.
I love it. You've got goats then. I'd love goats. If I had a bit more land, if we had a bit more space in our garden, I'd love to have goats.
Well, we're lucky. The two fields straight out the back are owned by the people who live three doors down. So there's absolute, you can't develop here anyway, because all the sports football pitches are here, and there's no road access. So we're always going to have that view, even though the rest of the village is besieged by developers.
No, it sounds lovely. Sounds ideal. Yeah. You're a lovely part of the world.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I think it also helps from a mindfulness side of things. You can just sit out there and it's peaceful.
Yeah. Mind you, you can, it's true, but you can practice mindfulness and that peacefulness even when it's not.
Well, that's what I was going to come to. So just sort of give us some very simple tips that people, wherever they are.
I would really recommend people could try to, they could start with the STOP acronym. So this is a really easy one to do. The STOP acronym, the STOP stands for, so the S is the stop. So just through regular intervals, even if it's between all of your pupils, for a short time, you just stop what you're doing, stop the car, stop what you're doing, and just pause. And then you can just take a breath, because we spend a lot of time breath holding and shallow breathing. But when we're born, when we're very, very young, we have this way of breathing, very good way of breathing. But as we come into adulthood, for some reason, we don't breathe deeply and fully into our abdomen. And it's just not good in many ways. It's not biologically, it's not good for us. But just noticing how we're breathing into the abdomen, taking a few steady breaths, almost like imagine that snow globe idea, just allowing the dust to settle.
Right.
To settle. And then we observe. And when I say observe, we observe the current moment. So you might notice what's actually going on now. And you might notice things like there's a trace of a headache come in. Right, maybe I'm dehydrated. I hadn't noticed that before. Or I'm holding tension. My jaw's really clenched. I hadn't noticed that. So when I can notice my internal reality, what's going on for me, my thoughts, maybe where's my mind today? Oh, I'm really chewing over that negative story from before. That's not helpful. I put that down right now? So you're creating a bit of space for choice. You can observe your external reality, maybe notice the colour of the sky, be curious about what's going on around you without trying to judge or notice if you are judging. Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is just creating a little bit of space. So rather than going on the rest of that time in autopilot, maybe keeping going that story, the negative story, or keeping that muscle tension, which is not helpful, setting all that down and then proceeding mindfully. So the P stands for proceed mindfully. So then you might make a choice. Well, actually, do you know what? I'm going to go and get a drink, or I'm going to go and... I'm going to do something that helps to support me to sustain myself, because we all know if we show up to a lesson and we're tired and we're cranky, we're not going to be giving that best lesson.
Yeah,
we're actually doing not only ourselves a favor, we're doing our pupils a favor as well.
Having said people could get things from the notes, I've actually been they can stop things if they need to, or they can read the notes. I've actually just been madly writing
it
down.
I'll send it to Kevin if you want. I can type it out and explain it in the... I'll send you a message if that's easier.
It's very kind of you. So I think I've got the gist of it, but I could do with some mindfulness out there. These two are going hammer and tongs, headbutting each other out there.
Yeah, I've heard of goat yoga, but not goat mindfulness.
No,
it's really not a new trend.
I could well do with it. Anyway, look, I think that's a really good place to finish this, because having those tips for people to actually take away is great. And I'm aware that we've taken 3/4 of an hour now, so I'm ever so grateful to you for all of this. I'll put, as I say, the notes to the Facebook group and the website, and for those people who want to take it further, that they can delve into it and find out more. If they if they subscribe to the Kit Mag, they can find out loads of stuff from that for best part of 18 months, if not more, that you've been contributing as well.
Yeah, I pop up all over the place. So you never know where I'm going to pop up next. I'm like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Well, I'm ever so grateful to you for giving up your time. It's been fascinating to talk to you. And I hope we'll catch up with each other again.
Absolutely. No, it's been really good. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
Good to talk to you.
Well, I'd very much like to thank San for that fascinating insight into the world of mindfulness. I'm well aware that we have just sort of dipped our toes into the ocean of the topic. There's a lot more to it, quite obviously. So what I'll do is, in the notes accompanying this recording, I'll put San's website address on there, and also the link to the Facebook page for the Guild of Mindful Trainers. So if you've enjoyed this and found it interesting, and you think there's something that you'd like to pursue with it, remember San has got these courses that she runs as well, with one starting fairly soon, later this month, then please go and have a look and see what she's got to offer. And thank you very much for watching. And if you have enjoyed this, give us a like on the XL Podcast website and Facebook page, and look forward to catching up with you next time.